Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffering? People, it's your man Beach Bum Gun live on the off-ramp November 10th, 2022, 9 p.m. Eastern. Welcome to the off-ramp, the show for the people, by the people, that embody the people. Show with me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. He was popping in the streets, he was going on in your hood, my hood, and all the hoods across the country. The show will be discussing everything from politics, sports, movies, anything we can kind of think of. No real structure, which is probably a bad thing. But, you know, we developed a free space so that people can come and talk. You know, we decided to start the show because a lot of people are having, it's like 7 years ago, seven, 8 years ago, I think I just got on Facebook. A lot of people are having Facebook discussions, a lot of Twitter finger, you know, and it's hard to get your message across, it's hard to get your point across, it's hard to get what you're feeling across by simply just writing characters on the internet. So we decided to do a radio show where, you know, people can call in 929-477-3975. That is 929-477-3975. Where people can call in and we can just discuss things, you know. We're all adults. We all have jobs. We all got responsibilities. Most of us have children, even the ones that don't. You know, we all have opinions on what's going on in the world and how we feel, and this is a place that we come to express those feelings. I hide the names and faces to protect the innocent. I don't want anybody to get fired for their opinion. I don't want anybody to get attacked because of their opinion. So I know a lot of people by the governments. Well, we give people nicknames, you know, so that, you know, you can talk freely without feeling like you're judged or worried about someone's going to attack you for your job. Not sure how many people we're going to have on the show tonight. I got started late. Got the links out late. Blur's going to go see Wakanda, which is big, man. It's a lot of things going on this week. So I might just be talking to y'all for the next couple of hours. DJ Cesar will be up in a minute to just walk in the door. We got kids in the house playing and doing all types of bullshit. So it might just be me and you, you know, and that's okay. We can have a discussion. I can express to y'all what I've been thinking, what's been going on, and, you know, get some old topics out and all that good stuff. So, without further ado, welcome to the offering. Again, feel free to call in 929-477-3975. I'll begin the show. Again, no one's really going yet. People probably going to be getting in late. And so I'll just, you know, I'll start off by telling y'all, because we still have a lot of lists. We still got some listeners from us. Does anybody call in? Yo, tell you about my week, man. I don't know what's happening in y'all parts of the country, but everyone around, like, my area has been getting sick. Even my family. So, you know, it's one of those things where you try to, you know, keep your family as healthy as possible. All parents get stressed out when their kids get sick. And, of course, we're no different. So, and whatever your views on the mask is your view and all that stuff. I'm not here to judge that. But because of what I've learned and read with COVID, even when my son went back to school last year, I said, yeah, you still got to wear a mask. He's like, yeah, but no one wears a mask anymore, Dad. I don't give a fuck. You have to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask. Point blank, period. Because there is no discussion. It's going to keep you healthy. So you have to wear a mask. But, okay, so now my job, I kind of work kind of isolated. Blessed enough to have my own office. It's kind of away from people. And I wear a mask to work. But my wife, either she's hiring, she's the opposite. Her job, she's in the public space. She's dealing with customers that walk up to her every day. And even though she wears a mask, you know, she's constantly touching, you know, prescription and paperwork. She's constantly giving vaccines, so she's getting right up next to people. So about 3 weeks ago, when she comes home and she starts coughing, I'm like, uh-oh. She's like, oh, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. 2 days later, she's like, no, I ain't fine. She was hurt, right? Sickness, she felt terrible. Back went out, like, it was nuts. So we were trying to keep do the common sense thing, like, okay, let's, like, no kissing and hugging and all that stuff. The main goal is to make sure our son doesn't get sick. So I thought we was doing good enough, but obviously not, because a week later, you know, that joint hit me heavy. And please don't knock me for the people online who go to work with me. So, you know, for my job, we get sick hours and we get vacation hours. So our sick hours run out at the end of the year. So if you don't use your sick hours, you just lose them. So I still got, and because I'm not sick often, my household just isn't sick often. I was like, yeah, I got a bunch of sick hours left. I might not use them all, but I'm going to use some of these shits before the year's out. So I was like, all right. It's two Fridays ago, the weekend of Halloween. I was like, oh, I can help the wife put up stuff since she's not feeling well and all that stuff. I was like, I'm calling it sick. Called in sick, had a dope Friday, played a lot of video games with the homies. You know, the homies that were home from work had a real nice, relaxing Friday. Saturday, woke up and had a cough. I was like, oh, please don't tell me I didn't caught it. But I still felt fine. Sunday, had to coach a couple football games. I was like, yeah, this ain't good. This ain't, like, something ain't right. So then Monday comes, and that's my telework day. I was like, all right, at least I don't have to call in sick again because I already used my sick day. I'm home. I'll just take it easy on my telework day. Shout out to the computer nerds out there because they got this little dongle where, you know, it can keep you active in these streets. Shout out to Joe the policeman who hooked me up. Keep you active in the streets. And, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, for accountability purposes. So your job don't, you know, see that you're inactive because, you know, sometimes, like, if you're sick and if you're at home, like, you can be inactive for an hour and still come back and get your work done. Now, I did that dongle, man. I was in a sleep all day. I felt terrible. Then Tuesday comes, still, and that's a Halloween night. So I was like, yo, told my kid, yeah, you might have to go out dolo. So then Tuesday comes, he's sick. So I got called a job. Like, yo, I can't even come in no more. Like, my kid's sick, I'm sick. So, and because, you know, he's a kid and we're adults, you know, adults, we just, you know, take some Benadryl, some Tylenol, sleep it off. When you got the kids, you know, you kind of get worried about them. So we rushed him right to the doctor because, you know, it beat me up. It beat DJ Cesar up. And I was like, all right, well, we got to figure out for the kid what's going on with him. That man had the flu. It's the first time he's ever, like, really, really had the flu. And the amount of throw up in my house was absolutely nuts, man. And, you know, the funniest thing is, have you ever, New York's in the building. New York, welcome to the offering, my brother. I'm just telling him about my sickness story. I don't think I talked about it last week. You are? I think the computer buffering. Hold on, Nero. Oh, there you go. Nero, Nero, welcome to the offering, my brother. How you holding up tonight?
Look, I'm good. I'm getting over this bug too. I think I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better now. I think it's my last day. I ain't even coughing no more. I just got that post nasal drip. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's been a rough week.
Yo, the worst part is like when you be feeling better, and like, but you can't get out the stuffy nose part. Like you just be stuffed up for no reason. And that's what I got going on. Got the stuffy nose and all that good stuff and just can't get rid of it, man. But, yo, teaching kids to throw up is still one of the wildest experiences I've ever had. Yo, how would you explain how to throw up to somebody?
Man, I don't know, because I can't get with, like, sticking, like, a pin down your throat, and, you know what I mean, your finger down your throat, because I'm going to throw up on my finger type stuff. Like, I wouldn't even know how to even begin for real.
And I was trying to explain that to my son, because he caught the flu, and, like, his sickness, well, we all caught the flu, but his was worse than us just because he had I had the cold chills, I probably had the fever, I never took my temperature. But he had to throw up shit. And it's like, yo, how did, like, he's trying to hold it in. It's like, nah, yeah, you got to let it go. Like, you got to give it to the Lord. Like, you can't be straining your body. Like, you could probably pass out like that. So, you know, so that's what we had to do. But thankfully, everybody's a lot better now. Everybody still got a little cough, though. Like we ain't over yet, but the craziest shit about getting sick now, and I don't know if it's been happening in your office, New York, but, like, people are catching COVID, and people are telling the job, yeah, I know you got COVID, but if you asymptomatic, come on in to work anyway. Like, the days of, you know, I caught COVID, I need to stay home, are over. Like, nobody gives a shit anymore. It's a different life out there. I guess we just don't care about it no more. Because a couple people caught COVID in my office, and they're just like, yeah, well, if you ain't coughing, you ain't got fever, bring your ass in anyway. It's just like, damn. Thankfully, I'm in a position where I tell my job, like, yeah, I ain't going to be able to make it, but I can log in through the laptop. So if you hear me coughing like that, y'all know why. So I'm apologizing now. No homo. I'm going to try to keep the voice moisturized with this yak pause. And hopefully I'm not coughing all in the mic. New York, Powerball went to $2 billion. They had one winner out of California. Did you play?
Nah, not this time. I definitely didn't play this time. I should have, though.
What would you have done, yo, if you won? I think the cash out. Let's see if I can go to my notes real quick. The cash out, I think, was like, can you imagine instantly becoming a billionaire?
I couldn't. I really couldn't because I honestly wouldn't know how to act. I think the first thing I would have to do is just delete all my social media. I would have to do that. I had to delete all my social media. I just got to completely go off the grid.
Why would you go off the grid? Is it because too many people you think be after your money?
Nah, it's because I'll probably be too excited. I might slip up. I might do something. Probably do like a little flashy post or something. Like, I don't know. Like, nah, I got to get that under check. Social media, the first thing got to go. For me, social media definitely the first thing got to go. Because I'm going to be too excited. Winning that much money, yeah, I'm going to lose my mind.
See, I would like to say that I am strong enough where I wouldn't have to delete anything. Now, you don't know what comes with it. So we had our house up for sale, and we put our house up for sale right when the market was, like, at, like, literally at the peak. So we put our house up for sale. We got a bunch of offers the day we put it up for sale the next day. The people that we – that we picked to buy our house because we, you know, we had a bunch of chances. You know, their loan fell through, and then it was like death. So it was like that day, if I had picked somebody else, I would have been able to get a great price on my home, and then the market failed, right? So, and I'm saying that to be able to hit something at the right time is, you know, is really luck. So I would think that I would be measured enough that I could still keep everything, but not really, like, go over the deep end. But I do know, and this is what I was saying about the house, when, you know, when we decided to take it off the market, the Fed hit that rate hike, and I was like, yo, it's going to be a terrible time for buyers. Let's just take it off the market. They tell you, hey, no one gave out your information, but because, you know, buying property in city is a public record, there's going to be a bunch of people that get your phone number and email, and they're going to be offering to buy your house for, you know, like cash. So basically, you know, just round numbers, we put the house up for $500,000. It didn't sell. So now I got a bunch of people calling me like, yeah, I'll give you $50,000 in cash. And it's just like, no, you know, like get out of here. But like, where do these people get your number from? But it's like public record now. So I don't know, and I say that to say this, I don't know if winning the lottery is the same thing. Like, if you win a lottery, does your name go into a, depending on the state where you live at, like a public database, and now like a bunch of people have your phone number? Because then I would get off social media. I would change my phone number, and, you know, I would do, you know, I would just get out, I would just get low. But if my public name, public record wasn't, you know, out of there, then, you know, I think I'd be all right. Like, I'm going to be rich. Like, you know, you instantly become – I'm trying to figure out what the payout was. If they take the cash payout, like, is it – because if it's $1 billion, like, overnight you become a billionaire. Like, I guess you do kind of got to get low. But, you know, like, what's anybody going to say to you? Like, all you got to do is tell people no. Like, yo, I got to get this together before I give anybody money. Because if you got family, you got friends, you're going to hook them up, you know, but you got to figure out what that budget is. So you just got to tell people, like, look, I got a lot of people to take care of. You're going to be on the list. I don't know how much it's going to be. But you got to give me a year or two to make sure that I got enough money to feed my kids. And if people get upset with you about that, then you just take them off the list. But it's got to be crazy to go from just a regular person to a billionaire and just by guessing, like, six random numbers. Like, your life has changed, right? But I would still work. New York, New York, you think you'll still work?
Oh, yeah, I got you. I know the habits I got. That money is gone. Like, you know how the people be winning money and then be like two years later it be all gone? Yeah, I'm still working. I ain't got no discipline. I need to put that money somewhere, and I need to continue to still working.
So let's take it whole numbers, right? Just easy whole numbers. If you won $1 billion, so 999.99 million. How much are you okay? So, because you won $2 billion, but let's say with all taxes, you get half of that, so it's $1 billion. How much are you blowing on absolute bullshit? Like, how much would you say? Like, this is just going to go to nothing but bullshit. And, I mean, I'll let you think about it for a second, but I'm thinking at least if I became a billionaire, I'm thinking at least $1 million is just out the door. Like, not the charity, not the family, like, just utter BS. I would think $1 million would be enough. Like, I think I could spend $1 million in 2 or 3 days and then realize, all right, I got to stop. What you think, New York Knicks? Like, how much are you blowing and how quick you think it's going to go?
Nah, I was just about to say the same thing. I have to at least, like, you know what I mean? If I want $1 billion and if the taxes come back on that, you know what I mean, it is a lower number than that. You know what I mean? I at least got to, I got to at least blow $1 million. Probably like 1.5 or something. At least $1 million I got to blow. Well, I know I'm going to blow. Or some stupid shit, some shit that I don't need, or just some shit that make me, like, you know what I mean, just to congratulate myself, pat myself on the back or something like that. It got to be at least $1 million. It has to be.
Yeah, I would have to. That's a good payday. So, shout out to that man. He got $1 billion. I mean, like, I'm gonna do money to charity. I'm gonna set up like a little trust, so you know, that money isn't taxed or whatever. But you know, I'm at least like, yo. Like, not even counting the house, but, like, hey, we just going to, like, rent a plane and get, like, 3 pilots and, like, all right, we just out for a month. Like, I'm going to just rent y'all. I don't want to say rent y'all like I'm renting humans, but I'm just going to, like, yo, here go $50,000 for the next month. You just got to fly. So, when y'all three figure out the schedule of who need to sleep and when, but we just gonna have to keep gassing up the jet, and we just gonna be out for a month. Cause that would still work, but I'm definitely telling my job, hey, I need at least like 2 months just to get some stuff together. And if they say, hey, I can't give you 2 months, I'm like, oh, I was gonna make a huge donation to y'all too. I bet you they let you take a month off. You might just fuck around and buy the company. I might, you know what I would probably do? I wonder how much it costs to buy a thing. Like, how much does it cost to just, like, let me just buy Wells Fargo. Because $1 billion, that was, what was that? Wasn't that the Los Angeles Clippers that cost $1 billion? Like, I probably would buy a sports team. I would have to figure that out. You can't buy anything in the NFL because all the franchises are over a billion. Like, if you maybe got the two, I don't even think, I don't know. If you got $2 billion, could you buy, like, the Indianapolis Colts? You know you couldn't buy the Cowboys. I think the Redskins are going for, what, $6 billion or something like that? So, but maybe I could buy, like, I don't know. Maybe I could buy, like, the Phillies, or I don't know if the Sixers would be worth $1 billion. But you got to get something that just prints money. Because you're in a different class now. You know what I mean? Like, you can figure out how to just live off the interest. But I'm like, you knew your New York, I didn't play. Like, I played the first time when it was at, like, $1 billion. And then when I got to $2 billion, I was like, I'm going to play again, and I forgot about the lotto. But it seemed like something shady went on, because didn't they say, if I remember correctly, didn't they say, like, it was an error in the drawing, and they had to redraw it or something like that? Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard something about it being delayed or something like that. Something like that.
Yeah. So, shout out to the folks who won $1 billion. I wish it was me. All my friends would have to, like, I would force all my friends to move because I would just buy, I would, like, buy Delaware. Like, Delaware, or maybe Delaware might cost more than $1 billion because it's home of the banking industry. But, like, I think I would buy, like, I don't know, like, Wyoming. Wyoming can't cost more than $1 billion. I know Kanye was out there for a long time. But I feel like I could buy, like, Mississippi. Right? Mississippi as a whole can't be more than $1 billion. And, like, I would just, you know, tell all my friends they just got to move down there, go ahead and start teleworking. And that would have been it. DJ T-Sire, welcome to the offer. How you doing tonight?
Doing all right. Good evening, people.
If you won the $2 billion lottery, what's the first thing you do?
Change my phone number and call Lloyd.
And why would you change your phone number? You can turn off the phone.
So nobody can reach me.
Why would you hide?
They say to do that. Yeah, I'm hiding because I ain't giving nobody no money.
So why do you have to hide to tell people no?
Because they'll still call. I'm changing my number. You cannot reach me right now. I will call you when I get to you.
If you won the billions, I think I would divorce you so I could guarantee I'd get half of the money. Because I feel like if we stayed married and you won the lottery, I wouldn't see half of the money. Yeah, I know. I'm breaking up, right?
Yeah.
You didn't put no cream on my face. You're a homo. Got my man, M Extra Money, in the building. M Extra, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm good. Working my damn stuff. But what's up with everybody?
Everybody good. Glad to have you as always. Glad you called in, because I was just ready to get ready to talk about the elections. Voting, what is it? Voting day? What do we call it?
Midterm election.
But what's that day called? Election day? It's called Election Day. I thought we had a fancy name. So Election Day was Tuesday across the country?
No?
No,
I was just saying it's not called nothing else.
So Election Day Tuesday, all across the country. Midterm election, so not a presidential election, so not as much hype. But it was an important day for a lot of states. You thought it was a lot of hype for this election? Well, I mean, certain things.
Absolutely. It's a lot of hype.
If Adam Skiff emails me one more time, I'm going to have to cuss out my butt.
Was it a lot of hype in comparison to a presidential election?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think more so just because people don't come out for midterm elections, and it was really important for people to come out for midterm elections because, at least in terms of the White House, they're trying to really, like, thwart the, you know, party not in power wave. We won't, you know, say which one, but it happens all the time. So I think it was they really were fight that. And they know that people usually don't really turn out as much at midterm, which would hurt.
I guess I didn't really realize the hype because we live in an area where the midterm elections really meant nothing. Wasn't really any opposition to anybody. There was no real contested race where I was at because I paid attention to the local elections. So it wasn't really a big deal. Like, you walk into our voting booth where we live, and, you know, it wasn't really anybody running against anybody else. I wrote my name in a couple times. Just because I just don't feel like anybody should run unopposed. So I hope I got one vote for me. Did you vote for me?
We had to have that discussion beforehand.
We never got to have no discussion. You always vote for me. So, you about to eat a raw egg? Are you boiling it? Anyway. So, let's just jump right into it. DJ Cesar, have you been paying attention to the elections and what you've been thinking about so far? We still ain't done. It's Thursday, and they still counting. And you would think that in 2022, with Elon Musk buying Twitter, and we got a Lucy spacecraft that's taking like figure eights around the Earth and using the gravitational pull of the Earth and the Sun to study asteroid belts on different sides of the galaxy, that we could get counting pretty quickly.
Not to mention a telescope that can take pictures in the past.
Yeah, we can literally see the past. We can
travel time, and we can't count.
We can't get these counting. They still counting. So, DJ Chitara, what do you think about the election so far?
I don't know.
It looks like, you know, America's pretty much in the middle, as it always is.
It always is.
Which is good.
Hey, I'm the type of person, I don't understand certain things. It's just it's a lot of disappointment, but a lot of non-surprises. Why there's going to be a runoff vote in Georgia, I don't know. That is mystifying. But again,
Stacey Abrams lost, didn't he?
I'm talking about
Herschel Walker?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, they're both black, so, I mean, come on now. It's probably the only reason why I picked the one off. But I mean, I don't think anything was surprising. I just, other than the fact that the Democratic Party didn't have as many losses as they probably would have any other time in history. And I guess they're trying to figure out what the Republicans did or didn't do to keep from being more dominant.
Okay. MX your money. I know you're big into politics. You're big into the elections. You're one of the few people I know who really get out here in these streets and try to get people to vote and exercise their right to vote. So far, what you been thinking of the elections? Educate a lot of us.
I mean, it was exhausting. I think DJ Cesar kind of hit on a couple topics. I mean, you know, everybody thought it was going to be a red wave, just like most midterm elections. Typically, the party that has the White House typically does poor in those kind of midterm elections. This election, all 435 House seats were up. So being as though we were only 7 seats from a majority in terms of the Democrats, you know, there was a chance that, you know, this red wave was going to come in and the House was going to flip. And it's still May, but it won't be that big majority that they were thinking. So, you know, when you look at from a Joe Biden standpoint, you know, this is a huge victory for him, even if they lose the House or not. I think if we lose the Senate, then, you know, people may say something otherwise. But, you know, the reality of it is that it's very frustrating, I think, in this day and time. You know, you think about it, like we've come so far, right? And yet when it comes to the people that we elect to do or represent our best interests, we are still so polarizing that if you just look at Georgia, right, like you got to, you know, because what they're looking at is basically like the Trump effect. You had Trump backing these dumb candidates, and so putting them up, right, and that's attributed to why they didn't win, because they were just not the best candidate. And they beat established Republicans out. And so some states vote with their common sense, and then you got other states like Georgia that, and some states in the deep South, and I guess Ohio you can put in there too, that just they're just so ingrained in their religious beliefs. I mean, it's just amazing how you have a pastor running, a guy that has dedicated his life to being a pastor, right? And you have the evangelical Christians saying that God anointed Herschel Walker to win. How does God choose him over someone who's actually on a daily basis preaching his word? Like, how does that make sense? How are you a Christian, a devout evangelical Christian, and you can't even just fix your mouth to say that a pastor is less than someone who isn't a pastor? Like, I just don't, how does that make sense, right? And so that's the frustrating part. Like, how does 80% of evangelicals vote for someone who's not a pastor? but still want to make sure that their religious beliefs are being heard and all that kind of stuff. Like, so, and he's just a horrible candidate. I think anybody else in there, I wouldn't even be saying what I'm saying now. Just Herschel Walker is not a great candidate. I mean, he's not. I wouldn't want him voting for me. I wouldn't want him to represent me in the Senate. Senate is supposed to be this deliberative body that's the best of the best, the creme de la creme, right? And yet it's getting watered down by these candidates that are still denying that Biden's the president, that still can't even fix a sentence to tell me what inflation means or what, you know, like any kind of government policy is, right? And yet they're going to be sent up here to basically decide on judges, decide on laws that's going to affect us all, even if we're not in Georgia. And so while, you know, a lot of political races in Maryland, we had elected our first black governor, legalized weed, a lot of big things happened in Maryland. See, in Virginia, you're kind of, you know, y'all have elections every year, right? So this year, 23, will be your big election, right? Because now all your house seats, your state house seats or races are going to come into play. But let's not think, yo, you had a Northern Virginia, I forgot her name. I met her, actually, last week.
Lord.
But, the white lady. But she
Lord.
Pulled out a decisive victory. Yeah. She pulled out a decisive victory.
Oh, no, Lori lost.
Lori
lost. Was, she was the big one, but that was Northern Virginia. Lori versus – Lori was the name of – yeah, some new
–
Kessler.
Yeah. I'm talking about the one that was in Northern Virginia. I forgot her name. Started with an L, I believe. But she was a redistrict. Her whole thing was redistrict. And that was another key thing, right? A lot of these – this is since the census just happened. A lot of these new districts – for the first time, this is the first election with the new drawing districts, right, from the census. And so what you saw happening is that a lot of incumbents had districts that they didn't even know, right, that they were new to, that didn't know them. And so what you saw, like in New York, where they basically lost 7 seats in a blue state like New York to Republicans because the RNC injected so much money into those races, and they were fighting that as well as trying to get to a population that didn't know them, bitter. They ran on this crime thing, right, this crime agenda. And I think the Dems kind of blew that one because you had the Republicans. You had so many use cases that you could have used in terms of, you know, your stance against guns, what you're trying to do against the curb, gun violence, curb, all these stuff. And all the Republicans were doing was deny, deny, deny. But we ran away from that issue in some cases, in most cases, nationally and locally. And so in New York, we lost. And that's a heavy blue state. But they are now – halfway, well, majority of the House seats are now Republican. Now, will that change? Sure. You had the DNC, the chair of the DNC, lose his seat because he was out campaigning for everybody else to make sure that this red wave didn't happen. Then he had to hurry back home because he saw himself in trouble, but he was in a redistricted district or a district that was redistricted. So half of that he didn't know. So he was incumbent winning easily in the old district, but now this new district, you give them this subset of suburbs of New York, you know, and now he ends up losing this race. So you just had a whole lot of stuff happening, man, and I just think that it's funny that we got another runoff in Georgia that may or may not, depending on what Nevada and Arizona does, decide, you know, if it's going to be 50-50 in the Senate or 51-49 in the Senate. And that's interesting, so stay tuned for that. And I think that to your point about how, you know, it's just 2022 or whatever, and why are we still taking so long to count votes, I think the reality of it is that you just you got to get the mail because there's so many ways now, right? So not everybody's going in on voting day. You got early voting, then you got election day, then you got drop off, then you got mail-in. And so you, in some states, I could mail my ballot in, like, the up to the day of election. So, you know, the post office ain't the fastest thing. So you got to give my ballot time to get to the proper place. So therefore, you got to wait for those kind of provisional ballots to come in, especially if you're in a military town. A lot of people that get deployed overseas, their votes are provisional. And so as long as it's postmarked by a certain time, you got to allow that time to get over there as well. So it's a lot of different things, but that go into why it's taking so long and why you want to be right. But shout out to Nevada, man. I think that they're doing it with the best thing. I don't know if y'all follow that, but like,
no.
You know, they was like, basically the Republican was like, I think it was either Arizona or Nevada, but basically, cause you know, they're election deniers, right? The two people that are running. So they were like, well, if I win, then there was no fraud. But if I lose, there's fraud, right? That's what Carrie Lake said in Arizona. Like, how in the hell, in what world, right? This is another thing that just irks me, right? In what world, since you were like a kid, like in preschool, right? If I told you we're going to play a game where if you win, it don't count. But if I win, it counts. Like a four-year-old would be like, I'm not playing that game with you, right? Like there's no way I'm going to play a game where only you can win, but if I win, it don't count, right? Like, that doesn't fit in any preschool in America. Yet, we got grown people, elected people, that actually say that shit out loud. Like, that shit doesn't make no sense to me. It's like, that ought to just disqualify you from even running. The fact that you're saying that if my opponent wins, that don't count. But if I win, then all of a sudden, oh, the election was right. Like, that doesn't make no damn sense. And to say that shit out loud and still be in such a tight race, like, that just shows you the electorate that we are amongst and in some of these states. So, but what I was getting to before I went off that tangent is that they kept debunking it. So every time they would say something like that, they would just debunk it. They were like, that didn't happen. They'll get on Twitter and be like, nah, that didn't happen. This is why we're doing it. This is what we're doing. I think it's Nevada. They just, like, every hour they were coming out saying, look, this is the ballots that we're doing now. This is what we're counting. This is where they're from, blah, 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 blah. And so every single time the Republicans came with something, they came right back and was like, nope, that's wrong. That's not what's going on. This is what's going on. So I think that kind of quelled a lot of that election denier, that old, you know, stop the steal type shit, because they just kept coming out and was like just debunking it right off real time. Like, they didn't let nothing get any legs or traction in the Twitter and social media. So shout out to them for doing that. So, but that's my take. You know, it just kind of is what it is. We're still polarized as a country, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a lot of good information. New York, you got anything on the election?
Hey, look, I don't think I can follow it up after Mxtra gave that good speech right there. All I want to say is, you know, shout out to Wes Moore from Maryland and all that.
Yeah, it's crazy how y'all, you know, got a black governor, and it's crazy that, like, black people are still doing, like, first, you know, in 2022. But, you know, just to touch on a couple things.
Unless you're female.
Yeah, unless you're female. You touched on a lot, and I'm trying to, you know, I wanted to jump in, but I want to let you get your rhyme off. Going back to the Herschel Walker and the pastor thing. Warlock. Pastor Warlock is better. But that just proves that it's not about religion, right? Like, if you have a conversation with those people and, you know, they're touting their religion, and you got a pastor versus a football player. Not that a football player can't be religious and have strong faith. And they're saying that God's anointing Herschel Walker but not anointing a pastor. At that point, we know that as much as they say, hey, it's about protecting my religious rights, it's not about religion, right? Like, at that point, you can literally call them a liar, because who's going to protect your religious rights more than now, maybe a pastor won't, because, you know, he might look at it like, you know, everybody's got to answer to God, not me. But, you know, if you're voting for a football player over a devout Christian and you're citing religious reasons, then we can literally just say it's not religion. Right? Those are the conversations that people, you know, need to have or should have, or, like, that's the proof that, like, no, just tell me you just don't want to vote for him because he's a Democrat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Say that.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that, these are the moments where it's easily proven that, oh, no, this ain't about your religion. Like, just be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting that they're still having that runoff. I feel bad for Stacey Abrams, man. They put money in her, boy. She keeps taking them L's, but, I mean, she's improving Georgia. Like, she's trying to improve Georgia. But, you know, outside of, like, there's Atlanta and then there's Georgia. Well, there's Atlanta. There's Savannah. Then there's Georgia. Well, I mean, Savannah has, you know, more of a ethnic feel to it. But, you know, I feel bad for Stacey because she keep catching these L's, man. But she's I love hearing her talk, though. She's unbothered. But they ain't never going to let her win in Georgia. She ain't got a shot. It's just too many of them. What else did you say that I want to comment on? I should have wrote it down. But, you know, but just in general, man, the election cycle is interesting. You're right. There is a lot. That's what I want to talk about. There is a lot of ballots, right? There's a lot of ballots that are put in the mail, provisional, and all that stuff. But it's not like they're saying, and this is getting off the actual red wave, blue, you know, this is just about the actual process. If they were saying, hey, we got all the ballots counted except for the ones that were mailed in, I would understand, because you're right, you know. USPS ain't moving all that quick. But they still counting ballots from the people pressing buttons in the scanner, and I feel like the Scantrons can give you instant answers. Like, it's only about three or four boxes.
They don't trust the machine.
Somebody
might hack it.
Double tap. Mm. Yeah. They're counting the
ballots
by hand. We can't live in a world where we trust humans more than computers.
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
They want to have people they can stare at those.
Yeah.
And
because
look at
the thing. This is, yeah, and they saw people actually taking hard drives trying to break into the damn systems and shit. So you just can't put these people are crazy out here in the street. That's what Trump did. Like Trump, like I just he ruined a whole lot. He set us back like years, like almost damn near a decade with this whole stop the steal shit. Because you just got people that's now maliciously trying, and never before really, right? There's never really been a big uproar around winning elections, right? Like you win, you lose, you concede. Some runoffs happen. But since Al Gore, which happened a long, long fucking time ago, right, where there was actually a Supreme Court case and all this kind of shit with the whole, you know, somebody deciding elections, then you don't hear anything about, like, tampering with, right? We had the Diebold thing where they thought somebody hacked it, like, 10 years ago. But ever since then, there just hasn't been a lot, right? But now you got, they're like, man, forget this technology. We just gonna hand count shit. Right, and it's like crazy, like because to your point, why the hell are you not trust? You got so much technology around you, and voting now all of a sudden, But that's what he did. Like, he literally did that. You got people out here trying to steal hard drives, trying to figure out how you can vote to switch votes. You got all these kind of people, like, calling on other countries to kind of hack in us. Like, it's like, so now, and he, and, you know, that's exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to make sure that you got people questioning, because as long as you question it, then he has a, you got an argument. You got a case to be made, right? So, yeah, I don't know how we get past that.
I mean, but just don't hook up the election machines to the internet. You know what I mean? Like, it should be just a scan trial where someone looks at it and says, okay, this, and they scan it, and it shows the vote for who is it. I'm like, can we confirm it? Somebody else confirm it? Just keep scanning them in this one. If you don't hack if they're not hooked up to the internet, can you still hack them? You know more about
computers. No, so that's what I'm saying. You have somebody. You had some people trying to steal the hard drive. They were trying to break into the machine to basically make a case like, oh, this machine is broken. The election is fraud. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, like just trying to create doubt, right? So if I create enough doubt, then it's enough for people to be like, oh, no, man, something happened, right? When really I'm the one that made it happen, right? So if I break into a machine – and I'm like, oh, look, man, this machine's broken into, right? Then it's like, oh, shit, what happened to that machine? I don't even know, man. And people in that motherfucker trying to switch votes, they don't want us to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let the press in. So now, where the press never really was inside the voting room, now what they're doing, they're allowing the press in and look and watch people count ballots. Like, when the fuck has that been news? But the reason why they're doing it now is because.
Why can't you have the press in watching people scan the scantrons and, like, watch the machine so that nobody can bring it up?
They are. Well, they are. I'm just saying, in the past, that hasn't been news, right?
Right.
Like, that just wasn't news.
They did jerk Al Gore. I saw a documentary on it. Like, Al Gore won that election.
Oh, hands down.
Florida ain't been the same since, y'all.
Mm-mm.
It's crazy. Okay. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I got on the election, man. I mean, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't exciting here in Virginia, or my part of Virginia. It was pretty much already decided before we walked in the booth. But, they're still counting, so it's still exciting somewhere else.
Yeah.
We'll wait to see if there's any riots because of it or anything like that, but...
Keep your fingers crossed.
What am I keeping my fingers crossed for? Nothing's changing where we're at. I mean, I guess...
We're just hoping the Senate is not... We're just making sure that we don't have lose majority in both.
Yeah, because this is what's going to happen, right? This is exactly what's going to happen. The chances are the Republicans are going to win the House, right? And it's going to be a narrow margin. This is my prediction. It's going to be a narrow margin, right? We need 218 to kind of get majority. They're probably going to get like 222, right? That's what the projections are saying, right? First thing they're going to do is that you're going to get Marjorie Taylor Greene. Going to bring impeachment charges to Biden.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing it already. Just Nancy's been blocking that shit. Like, man, get that shit out of here. McCarthy, because it's such a fucking narrow majority, he's got to look at that fringe. He can't ignore the fringe because he don't got enough votes to do anything else, right? So he has to appease them. So that means all those impeachment charges that they were bringing up, right, against Biden, that Nancy Pelosi was basically we ain't bringing that shit up, right? They're going to bring up. So then we're going to be, this is where the Republicans are going to fuck up. They're going to be spending all their 2 years, right, trying to impeach Biden for not doing shit as a return, thinking that, oh, well, because you impeached Trump for actually doing crazy-ass shit, but you're going to impeach Biden because of his son, right? Because what they're going to do is try to link Hunter Biden to Joe Biden, and we already know they already tried that shit 2 years ago, and that shit didn't work. So they're going to try to relitigate that shit now they're in power, try to bring up impeachment charges to him again, right? And then they're going to take half of their time trying to investigate Hunter Biden, right? Mm-hmm. And all that whole time, then the second that's the first thing I think they're going to do, or the first two things they're going to do. The third thing is they're going to use the debt ceiling to try to do some crazy-ass shit, right? Like shut down the fucking government, which in a time where we're already in fucking inflation, now we're going to be playing the money around without paying the bills and shit. That's the third thing. That's going to be the three strikes. That's going to, and then they're going to try to pass a fucking, because Ted Cruz already said he was going to fucking do this shit in the Senate. But I think in the House, if they get the majority, they're going to try to ban a complete abortion ban. They're going to try to do that. Even though in every ballot question, even in deep red states, that shit was defeated. But they're going to do that, right? Those four things they're going to try to do in those 2 years. All that's going to do is all those centrist people are going to be like, see, we done fucking gave y'all power, and all y'all going to do is this dumb shit so that next wave election, the motherfucking the presidential election, when that shit really matters about the White House, it's going to come back and bite their ass, and it's going to come back and bite them in the ass because we're going to know they ain't about shit. That's exactly what's going to fucking happen. I can guarantee you, watch my word.
Okay,
so I'm hoping
to DJ Siren's
point that the Senate does not flip, because if the Senate flips, that's going to be fucking crazy. Because I think that, I mean, we got Biden's going to veto that shit, but I guarantee you a complete abortion ban or a 15-week abortion ban will pass if they have both houses of the Congress. And then the crazy thing is that then Mitch McConnell's going to start blocking all the motherfucking judicial appointments just like he did with Obama, because he already said that shit. Mark my words.
Yeah, should be it. So I guess it'll be interesting in the next couple of years, headed to Handmaid's Tale.
Right, well, right. I don't know if a lot of people know Handmaid's Tale. You be watching that show?
We watched the first season. I thought it was done really well. I don't know if DJ C. Siren did the second season, but I never got to it. I think football came on, so I stopped watching. Damn, my bad.
That was a crazy ass show. Like, I don't know. Like, that was crazy. Yeah. Anyway.
But so speaking of abortions, me and DJ C. Siren watched Neil Brennan's comedy special on Netflix. Remember, he was talking about how he's liberal, but he'll kick a fetus's ass. It's a must watch. Like, it's a must watch, man. I think it's the best comedy special I've seen in a couple of years, man. So I don't know, New York, MX your money. If y'all into the comedy specials, if you got an hour and a half, it's deep though. Like, it's funny as hell, but it's deep. But I think it's absolutely genius, man. I think it's a great, great comedy special. Have y'all seen it? Yeah, do y'all know who Neil Brennan is?
Yeah. Nah, and I have not seen it.
So Neil Brennan is the guy who helped write Chappelle's Show with Dave Chappelle.
Okay. That's why his name did find, so it seemed, it sounded familiar, but I was like, I don't know what that means.
Okay. New York, did you know who he was?
I absolutely did not.
Man, none of y'all know him now. Dave Chappelle's Show is so great. And the only reason why I know is because DJ C. Siren now, dating her, she has me always looking at who's behind projects. So I would have never known if, like, once we started dating, she was like, well, look who produced it. Look who wrote it. Look who did this. So now I look at that stuff. But, yeah, so Neil Brennan is the guy who co-wrote the Dave Chappelle. Co-wrote, not like gave a line to. Like, he wrote a lot of the sketches. He's one of the reasons why Dave Chappelle quit the Chappelle Show, because he wrote that skit about eating watermelon and all that stuff, and where he felt like white people were laughing at him and not with him, and that's one of the reasons why he quit. But you know, the show's funny. See, this is how you watched it with me without giving too much away. What'd you think about it? Because you first, at first, when I first put it on, I said first a whole lot of times.
What about first?
When I first put it on, I don't think you were really that interested in it. But what'd you think about it?
Well, the thing is, between me and Beach Bone Gun, I probably am a little bit more of a stand-up comedian person. I mean, universally. Like, not just black ones.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say black ones. I know all the black ones. But, yeah, you do watch a lot of white people.
And
she loves the Jews.
And it spans.
You're anti-Kyrie.
And I did it, and I watched them when I was really young. So, like, this is, like, from the 80s. Like, I was watching a lot of stand-up comedy. So I just I wasn't familiar with him because he is a writer. And this is probably, I guess, one of his first forays into stand-up comedy. So I just wasn't familiar with him. I mean, and he does have a different approach to stand-up.
Genius.
And so when it first started, I was just kind of like, yeah, you know, like, okay, you know. But no, it definitely, you know, he has a story to tell. You can tell he's a writer. It's a well thought out comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I think it's because of his take on things, it's just different. It's just different, but it's definitely what everyone plays on. You know, everyone who had a horrible childhood, or everyone who is really depressed, a comedian, because that's just trying to cope with life. So he definitely takes that stance, I think.
Yeah, I think it's genius, man. And I really want y'all to watch it and let me know what y'all think. So when y'all
it's a stand up on Netflix.
Yeah.
Right.
What is
okay.
it called?
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Oh.
Just look up Neil Brennan. It should be on the homepage because I think it just dropped this week. I think when we were watching TV.
Blocks.
Yeah, Blocks. I think when we were watching TV is when it debuted because it just popped up while we were watching. So, yeah, Blocks. So go ahead and check that out. And please report back to me and let me know what y'all think. I'm dying to hear what you two think of the comedy special. We got Veterans Day coming up. What am I talking about?
Marines' birthday. Happy birthday to all the Marines out there, you know.
Yeah, shout out to all the Marines. Shout out to all the Veterans Day. Shout out to all the veterans out there. Got a bunch of homies. It's weird every time Veterans Day comes around because it's like I'm jaded a little. You know, I grew up where not a lot of the people were. Not a lot of my family or friends were in the military, and you know, I was always told that the military is no place for a black man. Then you go to college, and you meet people from different walks of life, and you meet their parents, and they join the military, and you realize that, oh, no, military is a good career if you can stomach what they put you through. Like, I mean, you might have to go to war. And that might be a thing, but, you know, there's a whole lot of people who don't go to war and make, like, great careers out of it and retire, you know, in their 40s, 30s even. So yeah, shout out to all the veterans. Happy Veterans Day. It wasn't that deep for me. DJ C. Sire's dad's a vet. So I guess vet is just anybody who joined the military. Like if you joined the military for like one term, are you considered a vet? Because I feel like if you didn't get like a PTSD discharge or if you didn't get like shot or something, you shouldn't be considered a vet if you only made it one round.
That's how I feel about like that's the comparison between my brother and my father. Like, you know, I know we talk about the birthday. Veterans Day is coming up. Yeah, so it's like I want to tell my dad happy Veterans Day because he was a medic in
Vietnam.
The Army, front line in Vietnam.
Forrest Gump, yo.
It's a lot of dead bodies. Like,
showed up Forrest's butt cheek.
But my brother, on the other hand, No offense. I love you. If you're listening.
Shout out to Big Bro.
Air Force during, 1996? And look, was out before 9/11. So we weren't doing shit. Like, you wasn't going nowhere. You just, you know what I'm saying? You was hanging out, dog. Like, really?
Got some good workout then.
You know, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Some two-a-days, like, come on now. Like, what, you know? So I kind of like Happy Veterans Day, you know. Like I said, definitely, I don't think any PTSD from his military career, but, you know, okay. Happy Veterans Day to them both.
Okay. And extra money, got anything on Veterans Day?
No, I mean, You know, Easterly used to always tell me, man, that it's funny. You know, my dad was in the Army, kind of grew up in the Army base, all that kind of environment and stuff. But you never know, never really for myself wanted to be in the military. But you know, respect those that took that path. And kind of easy, especially when you're going up in that kind of environment, going to school on the base, to just kind of matriculate yourself right into that. That space, especially because you see the perks of it. You know, one of the things that he always told me, it's interesting to hear a lot of people's reasoning of why they went into the military. And, you know, I always find it funny after he's told me this that, you know, a lot of people go in the military because they're like, oh, well, you know, it's a good job or get me out of trouble or – you know, just like go to school for free. And he always would say when he was training his soldiers, it's like, man, you're training because we're preparing for war. Like, you sign up for the military to go to war. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't sign up because of college. That's just a perk. But really, we're training. All this stuff you're doing is for us to go to war, right? And then so it's funny how – you know, a lot of people, when I, you know, you ask them, like, oh, what made you go to the military? And they say all those other things. And then you ask them how many times they've been deployed. They'll be like, oh, no, I got out before that. Or they try to do some, like, kind of medical discharge or try to get out so they don't have to actually go into theater. So you know, it's just kind of all high ironic how, you know what I mean? Like, yo, the military, the reason why we have it is not for your free education. We have it so your ass is going to fight because I don't want to. You're right, you're fighting for my freedom. I'm trying to take your ass to war. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So it's funny because every time you say every time I encounter somebody, I always ask them that question, right? Because I'm just curious now, you know what I mean? Because it's just like there's so many people who go into the military for all other reasons. And then when they got to be deployed, they be the ones crying and not wanting to go and shit. Like, what the fuck do you think you was doing for these last 3 years? Like, every fucking time we went to training on a mission, it's so you can actually perform your duty when called upon. Like, you weren't just doing that shit for nothing.
Right.
So I find that interesting.
Yeah, I had my cousin, she's in the military. Happy Veterans Day to her. And it was funny when she went, it was for the same reason. She just wasn't sure what to do after high school. College wasn't like a big idea for her, but she knew she had to get out of Jersey and she wanted to make a lane for herself. So the military was, you know, the recruiters are good. You know, the military got her interested. So she went and she was like, I just don't know about this whole war thing. You know, I can, and I didn't even know this was a job. She was like, I can pump gas in the military and make $70,000 a year. I was like, oh, shit. She's like, you know, and I'll never have to go to war. I don't need no guns. I'm just pumping gas. And then we go into war in the Middle East, and, you know, it's about gas. They sent her black ass right on over there. She was pumping gas in the middle of the war.
Refilling all them motherfucking vehicles.
Yep. So, but it's definitely crazy. New York, you got any veteran stories?
Look, I surely do not, but thank you to the service for them. Yeah,
I try not to park in the veterans parking spots at the grocery stores on Veterans Day. Any other day, it's up for grabs. I tell people I'm a veteran of the street. But on Veterans Day, I'm not going to park in the veteran parking spot at the grocery store. I'm going to let y'all live. That's for y'all.
Just very noble,
so,
very noble citizen.
Yeah, I try, you know. Look, it says Veterans Park. So, you know, I'm a veteran of these streets, mate. I feel like the park spot's for me. But, yeah, shout out to the veteran. In this area, I don't know how it is with y'all, but, yo, they get mad free grub, yo. I got to figure out a way to get me a fake military ID so I can get some free grub on Veterans Day. I need to figure out how to make that, yo. Flash me a fake military. Can you get in trouble for having a fake military ID?
Hell yeah.
Like,
the government
issued
document. What'd
you say?
I said the government issued document, so. Yeah.
But what if I don't?
Hard to fake, though.
What'd you say?
I said it's hard to fake, though. I don't think you could do it. I'm sure
if I put government stuff on there, it's illegal. But if I just make, like, a green ID with, like, a little eagle and just has my information on it, and if people think it's a military ID, that's on them. But as long as I don't say, like, property of the U.S. government, I feel like I should be okay. But I do know, remember when I was a freshman at my great university, my roommate was making fake IDs. And when the cops kicked in the door and took his computer, see, this is the other thing I hate. This is why I hate white people. The cops kicked in, took his computer. He got arrested. Mm-hmm. So his mom had to come down because, again, we were freshmen. So mom had to come down and talk to the police and all that stuff. They had to get him out of jail. They wouldn't give him his computer back. You know what his mom did?
Bought him a new laptop.
And I'm sitting there with a power bar and a Gatorade on my poor broke ass looking like he's had two computers. I've never seen one outside of a computer lab. I don't really hate white people because of it. Shout out to him and his parents.
PWIs, because white school, we had our own computer in our room.
Don't say y'all. He had two computers. My other roommate had a computer, too. Look, this is the first time that, look, when I first moved into the dorms, and I don't know if any of y'all experienced this because I just wasn't familiar with computers like that. Well, because we were football players, we moved in the dorms before the regular students. I had never seen an Ethernet port before. So I had a house phone so that I could call my girlfriend. She called me. But I was trying to plug my phone into the big port, and I was like, man, how come Maryland has such big phone lines? I couldn't figure it out. I eventually saw the smaller one and plugged it in there, but I was like, yeah, I can't believe why does Maryland got big phone ports? It wasn't until about October when I realized, when they came and took my roommate's computer, I was like, oh, the computer plug goes in there. Ignorance, man. So, shout out to the vets. Happy Veterans Day. So, speaking of Veterans Day, we saw Top Gun. Me and DJ C. Siren saw Top Gun. What did you think of the movie?
Well, good. At first, I was.
Hey, talk for Top Gun. See if anybody else seen Top Gun. I'm gonna make a drink real quick.
Oh.
So y'all talk for a couple minutes, and I'm gonna give you my Top Gun review. And if MX Your Money in New York haven't seen Top Gun, see if they've seen Point Break. And please,
I have not seen Top Gun. I have not seen it. No.
You're not gonna see it.
I need to see it. I do want to watch it, but. Let me ask you this, DJP, sorry. Do you need to remember anything about the first one to understand this one? Like, do you have to go back? Like, or should you go back?
I never watched the first one, so I did not know anything. I mean, I knew a few key things. I'm familiar with Top Gun, and I probably, like, I've seen, like, a few scenes. I remember the volleyball scene. Don't ask. But other than that, I didn't really remember much about it. So there was some things that I think they referenced, and I was kind of looking at Beach Bum like, is that supposed to be something I'm supposed to remember from the first one? So, but you don't really need to. You don't need to really see the first one.
I don't understand how you didn't see Top Gun. What were you doing back in the day? I mean, it was Top Gun and Purple Rain. Like, those were two classes. They came out around the same time.
We watched Purple Rain. Didn't watch Top Gun. Make sure you watch
racist,
Purple Rain.
It races down to that Kentucky.
Rental for VHS. Dude, we watched it over and over again. So bad. But no, not Top Gun.
No one's seen Top Gun?
Oh, nah. MX was asking we have to see the first one. I told him I don't remember the first one, so I don't think I watched the first one. But I know things about the first one, but I don't remember it. So.
Yeah, the second one was very nostalgic. But if y'all haven't seen it, then I'm not going to tell y'all too much about it. But Tom Cruise might be the greatest action star we've ever seen in our lives. So. The airplane scenes are ridiculous. That's all I'm going to tell you. It's worth the price of admission. So, yeah, check out Neil Brennan. Check out Top Gun. Let me know what y'all think.
And Point Break.
So, have y'all seen Point Break?
No, what is that?
Keanu Reeves.
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze about surfers robbing banks.
1991.
I vaguely remember it. I vaguely remember it, but I don't know. I would have to see it again. I vaguely remember it.
Hey, watch out background.
Sorry. Get water. High quality H2O, man. Respect it.
Yeah, it's Fast and Furious.
Yeah, your description is the perfect.
On surfboards.
Yeah. It's the surfing Fast and Furious.
Yo, please watch that before y'all watch anything else. It's top five worst movies I've ever. Like, it is so bad.
Top five worst movies, but you have to watch it.
Yes, because I need to laugh at this shit with somebody. Like, I want to watch it again. Like, the first 10 minutes is just nothing but yelling.
The thing
for
is,
no reason.
I think the problem is, like, we all love Keanu Reeves, but we've always kind of had the argument that his acting has always been questionable, and this is very early in his career. It reminds you that Keanu's acting has always been
awful.
Yes, it has.
He's the great in The Matrix.
It was bad because it's Keanu.
This was bad, but Patrick Swayze was bad.
Patrick Swayze wasn't.
Nick Nolte was bad.
Oh, Nick Nolte. It wasn't
Nick Nolte. Who's the other one?
No,
that was
a,
Nick Nolte. That
no,
was,
it's not Nick Nolte. It's I just said his name. Now you're gonna make me.
It's a lot of stars in this movie. It's the chick.
Gary Busey.
Yeah, Gary Busey. Horrible. The chick from A League of Their Own. The young.
Was she horrible? Or was she good?
She was horrible.
Oh God. Hey, they got. They had. Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Horrible.
He got a shot in the foot.
They had one black guy in there, the whole movie.
But it's definitely.
And of course, he was a thief. He was a drug dealer.
He was a drug dealer. It's definitely early in '90s cinema. You know,
so bad, y'all have to watch it. Like I, of all the things, I think Neil Brennan is the best thing I've watched all weekend. But I think Point Break is the greatest thing I've seen in a long time.
It was pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
It's so funny.
It's a lot of questions.
It's so bad. It's so, okay, watch those. Get back to me. Let's have these discussions next week. I'll table that. The last thing that I'll discuss that we watch is Atlanta. Have y'all finished the last episodes of Atlanta? Yes, we have.
Babe, there's one more episode.
Oh, that comes out tonight. Y'all watch Atlanta? I'm actually New York.
Nah, we talked about that before.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back into it, but I was trying to watch the second season before I got back into the third season. I just found out they came out with a fourth season, and I'm already late for that. I still haven't rewatched the second season. I still don't know what's going on. But I'm going to catch up.
They dropped fourth season all this year.
You don't have to watch the third season.
Yes, you do. Third season is classic.
Why are you yelling at me?
Oh, third season is classic.
No, that's the one that don't have anything.
Yeah, she did get hype.
Right.
She got hype on you real quick, too.
Watch it for the story.
No, I watched the last season. I mean, not the last season. I watched the last episode of season four when the man was in, I don't know, some wooded territory in Georgia. I won't give too much, though.
That's just it. You didn't watch the other, did you watch the other episodes of season four?
Did you watch
No, I didn't. The only thing I saw was all I seen was the animals were trying to get into this little joint, and then he went to the store and tried to barricade it and track the – all that. That's all I see. That's the only episode I seen.
No, it's not going to. Because it's filled.
Yeah.
But the State Farm is great. The State Farm.
State Farm, but you got to – you can't appreciate
that's
State
what
Farm.
M. Extra got. M. Extra got a State Farm.
You can't appreciate State Farm until you watch
the up there is too close.
What's that?
State Farm. We can't say that.
Yeah.
I love him. I chose him. No homo.
Yeah. Well, it's different. You know, we can change the meaning.
But yeah, y'all got to watch. You got to watch it. MSU.
But no, the third season was dropped earlier this year.
Okay.
So
and that's when they were on tour.
That's amazing. Yes. And there's just one-off episodes during that season. And then the fourth season just started this summer or this fall.
Third season is look, I'm just gonna tell y'all there's one episode where this lady in the wheelchair is trying to stab my man, and it's one of the greatest scenes ever. Y'all gotta watch it, man. Y'all got a lot to catch up on, man. I'm gonna start texting y'all, man.
I almost forgot about
that. Yeah, yo, that shit was crazy.
I keep saying this, like I say this over and over and over again. Donald Glover, to me,
that's the point I was getting to. Go ahead.
Donald Glover, to me, like before Atlanta was, I just thought, okay, you know, he's kind of funny. He's in some shows. He makes, you know, music. Okay, well, this was before I just, you know, I'm like, okay, it's all right. You know, I guess he got some talent, whatever. But after Atlanta started, my whole perception of Glover is just genius. Like this man, what he created with this show, I don't know. It personally speaks to me because it's just the things that he touches on is just like, I can't believe someone actually put this in a show. Like D'Angelo?
Oh, Fat D'Angelo. Yeah. Look. And that's why I wrote it down, because I want to make the argument Childish Gambino is the greatest black artistically we've ever had.
No,
I don't
black
think it's any
better day.
I think Childish Gambino is the greatest black artist we've ever had. I used to think it was Jamie Foxx. I think Childish Gambino beats him. He's funny. His R&B music is amazing.
He raps a
little. Yeah, he raps a little. His raps weren't that great. I mean, that sway rap was impressive, though. He started talking into the middle of it and then caught the bar. It was absolutely phenomenal. It was a great performance. But because he's such a great writer, I can see why. Mm-hmm. His writing is amazing, and his acting is pretty good. I used to think it was Jamie Foxx. I used to say, hey, Jamie Foxx is the best overall black talent we've ever seen in our lives. I think Childish Gambino got him. He's got classic R&B joints. Classic. Like, I got a whole Childish Gambino set that can just rock out. So, yeah, y'all got to check out Atlanta. I'm putting my hat in as Childish Gambino. Greatest black artist we've ever had, and I'll argue with anybody on it. But, yeah, let me know if y'all get to Atlanta. What else we got? Black Panther come out tomorrow. Wakanda. store tonight. That's why Blur can't be with us.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You got chill out.
Let me ask you this. Do y'all really think that that's going to be, like, good?
See, that's the discussion I wanted to have. I'm already going into the movie with the expectations I'm not going to like it. And I hate to say
it. Me too. I know.
But I got
to I'm with you on it, though.
I mean, if they're able to incorporate this new world with Neymar and this whole Atlantis thing, if they're able to introduce this new character, superhero, or anti-superhero, I don't even know if he's an anti-hero, whatever, it might be the saving grace. Like, that is where the story is. So.
Okay, stop right there. Let me ask you this question.
Hey, hold on, real quick.
Before we
get into that, let me just say, what did you think of the first Black Panther movie? I'm extra. That's what I was asking. I'm sorry. I'm extra. You guys on mute?
Yeah, what'd you say?
All right. What'd you think of the first Black Panther movie?
So the first Black Panther movie, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was, like, the best thing ever, right? I felt like Infinity War, like, Endgame was, like, way better than that, right? Like, I even think, like, the Winter Soldier was better than Black Panther, right? Like, it was cool, but I just really didn't think, like, it was like a, I just thought it was cool. I just put it like that. But I didn't think it was, like, it didn't compare to any one of those movies I just mentioned, though.
Okay. What did you think of it? Okay, so go ahead with your question. I'm not sure. I just wanted to hear what your opinion was on the first one.
Yeah, I just thought it was cool. I thought they missed it a lot. I think they could have went deeper into that, like, whole warmonger piece. Like, most Marvel movies go deep into it, right? So I just felt like there was a miss. And maybe they could have did that, but then, you know, obviously he passed away. But whatever. My question to DJC Siren is, where the hell did this character come from, right? And how the hell was he in Aquaman? Like, it's like, you can't just come from the ocean when you already have Aquaman. You can't just all of a sudden say, I'm just king of the sea when you have Aquaman. Like, you can't do, like, how do you just do that? Like, how does where did he come from?
This better, but it's because it is Marvel.
Yeah, two different universes.
DC is Aquaman. Y'all forget, DC started this superhero shit.
If
you look into it, yes, but you're talking over me. I'm sorry. Well, I can't pause for your joke.
You started with the Friday after next joke.
Anyway.
And Mextra would appreciate it.
So,
yeah.
Look deep down in there, you're going to find a Marvel counterpart for just about every DC hero. So, this one's a little bit more. You can see this one. You can figure it out a little bit easier than some others. But yeah, there's tons of Marvel superheroes that are basically based off of DC.
Flash and what?
Quicksilver of the X-Men. Well, there's a lot of Speedy people. Truthfully, there's a lot of Speedy ones. But yeah, so with the X-Men, there's like three of them anyway.
Storm and Storm.
No, there's a jungle. African Vixen. Vixen is basically
a great stripper name. Jungle Bunny?
Jungle, that's horrible. In 1972, yes. So, anyway,
I give Jungle Bunny a dollar.
So we have Neymar, who is Marvel's equivalent to, Aquaman. Now, there have been rumors that they were introducing Neymar for quite some time now, so I've been hearing it was. I don't think they quite knew that it was going to be with the Black Panther movie. There was kind of some ramblings that it was going to be his own Neymar, you know, it was going to be his own Atlantis kind of movies coming out. And maybe that will be down the line, but they decided to introduce him with this Black Panther. And it might be because of Chadwick Boseman dying and not, you know, not really wanting to continue to the next Black Panther quite yet. And so introducing Neymar.
So. It's funny that they both use Atlantis, though.
Well, there's only one underwater city.
Atlantis.
So, okay. So this is my thing, right? I get it. I know Aquaman is DC, and I know Marvel's Marvel, but they've never tried to overlap before. Like, Marvel didn't come up with, like, their own version of Superman, right? They didn't come up with their own version of Batman, right? Because that's how they competed against each other, like, Superman versus, like, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever, right? Like, that was they kind of stayed in their own lane. And it just seems like...
Captain America is Superman.
Just without the flying.
He'll fly. He'll shoot shit out of his eyes. Like, I mean, but I'm just saying, I'm talking about a direct core. I mean, this dude is doing Aquaman type shit. Like, I mean, he is essentially, I'm just like, when I look at him, when you see the previews, and I haven't seen the movie, but when you see the previews, you don't say, damn, that motherfucker look like Aquaman. Like, you don't see that?
I've always said that.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying. It's a lot. Look, outside of the Avengers, when they start adding other characters, it's gonna be kind of DC-ish.
I mean, Shazam ain't nothing but Superman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, but Shazam is DC anyway. So.
Yeah, I guess. We'll see. And then what the other thing about it is. The other thing about the movie, what I don't understand is that, you know, like, okay, so the first one, the dude dies. You got all these tribes coming together to figure out who's going to be the next king. Right. Then, now, okay, so however they're going to do it, he dies, right? So now, why is it that nobody's coming together? Like, where is this coming together? If they don't show that piece again, then I'm already going to be like, yo, what the fuck? And then, why is it then goes to the next descendant, right? To me, you know, would have been, and then maybe, like, it would have been like, yo, like, I don't know. I'm going in there, I guess I just stopped there. I just got to see it. But I'm going in there with a lot of questions and reservations already. I shouldn't have watched the previews, I guess. And maybe I would have just, the previews doesn't make it make any sense to me. And I think that they're going to do some dumb shit, put people in places that doesn't make sense to put them in. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah.
We'll see.
Weird.
I just
we going tomorrow morning, baby.
I think I have better faith in Coogler and Feige.
But he's so cali, yo.
Or Feige, however the heck you pronounce
Feige?
It. Kevin Feige. And so I'm thinking the product that's going to be released is going to be decent.
It's a black person versus a Puerto Rican. This is my childhood. I gotta love it.
He's Mexican.
The same thing. I'm not the Mexican.
I don't know.
It's weird. I don't know.
Who survived anyway? Did everybody die? Like, who survived? How about that? Yeah, who survived?
That's the bad thing about these comic books. We don't know what time it takes place. Like, is Chadwick Boseman deaf about the blip?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he going to die? Like, you know what I mean?
Right, or is it like, or the blip happened, and this is like, they don't know what the fuck happened, because no one really knew. Right?
Right. Is this before Infinity War?
They could go back, right? Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I feel like I'm not going to like it because it's going to be too emotional. It's going to be focused too much on Chadwick's death. And I look at these movies as purely entertainment, but I differ from you, Mxtra, because I thought the first one was phenomenal. I absolutely loved it from top to bottom. Were there some things that I thought were, you know, could have been done better? But to be able to touch on the black plight but not make it really about the movie, had some good action scenes. I think Creed was a great villain. And be able to sympathize with both the hero and the villain and be able to understand both plights and, you know, and having that all-black cast but not make it be about the all-black cast, I thought was Coogler did a great job. So I love the first one. I just think this one's just going to be more about death. And I'm like, I don't want, I understand why, because, you know, it's Black Panther. Chadwick died. He's a great, he's one of our great actors, you know, who we didn't even see get to the Denzel level, but we all thought that he had that potential. If the movie's a depressing superhero movie, I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Beach Bum Gun won't like it if it's too emotional and if it's too much about the memorial of it. So,
and I get that part, too. I get that part, too. And the only reason why I'm saying that, you got to think about it, like what I'm comparing it against, right? You had other movies that delve deeper, way deeper, like in the weeds and shit. And I felt like they just had an opportunity where I think they either ran out of money or they was just like, we don't need to go all the way here, right? Like, because at the end of the day, the Killmonger had a whole fucking story that we don't even fucking know about. Now, do they have opportunity to go back and show that shit? Sure. But all we do is see a kid, his father die, and all of a sudden he's fucking doing all this crazy-ass shit. Like, what the fuck? But he'd been to Wakanda before because he knew where the fuck it was from. His dad took him there. We don't show none of that shit. You don't show any of the growing up shit. You don't show any of that. All you see is, he's a kid, my dad died, I saw a black bear with claws in my and then all of a sudden you see that shit halfway in the fucking movie and be like, yo, what the fuck? And then you got to try to piece that shit together, but you don't even understand what the fuck happened until you get to the end where it just seems like other Marvel movies, they took the time to actually build upon all that shit and keep you interested throughout the movie. I think it was a good movie. I'm just saying I think there was a lot of missed opportunities where in other Marvel movies, they hit on all that shit. Like, it's almost like doing the Winter Soldier without showing the fucking hypnotist priest. And then you just see him killing all this shit.
I say Winter Soldier was
then, and then all of a sudden you show him at the end, like, being hypnotized. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, come on. That's, like, that's what I'm saying.
But Black Panther was a one-off. The Winter Soldier was, like, the sixth Marvel movie that came out, and it was the second Captain America. Like, they could build a story around a lot of stuff in The Winter Soldier just because there were so many movies prior.
Right. Right. They were able to build a story.
So I guess you're spoiled. I guess I'm spoiled then. I guess I'm spoiled by that then. I guess. Right? I don't know.
So, New York, you going to go see it?
I might, but I still got to say Cinemas is yours, though. I don't know. I might just catch it on a streaming service for real. I do want to go see it because I haven't been in the movie theaters for mad long, but, like, nah. I might just have to catch it on a streaming service, allegedly. It's all paid for. You can tell me.
Okay. And, Mercy, you going to the movies to watch it, or are you just going to wait?
I'm going to go to the movies. I'm definitely going to give it you know, that just is. I think The Woman King. Have you seen The Woman King?
Nah, man. I kept saying that I wanted to see it. I was going to try to sneak into the movie theater to see it when I watched something else. But we never got to the movie theater.
The Woman King, your sentiments about all black movie, not making it feel like it's black and all that other kind of stuff and the plight and how all that shit works and all that kind of stuff. That's the movie that you need to go see. The whole history of the whole slave trade and what the fuck was going on. The same shit when I was over in Ghana, they was talking about what the fuck happened with the whole slave trade, the Gold Coast, and all that other shit. It played right into all the stories, all the histories that they were sharing over there. Plays right in. They did a great job writing without actually saying it, but saying it. Great job. Great job with all that shit, about how all that shit played out. It was a great job. Great movie.
Yeah, I heard it was good. I wanna check it out. I'm a fan of Viola Davis. We watched the first season of How to Make a Murderer. How to Create a Murderer or How to Get Away with Murder.
How to Get Away.
And I thought she was absolutely phenomenal. I thought she killed that joint. And I wanted to see Hidden Fences with her and Denzel, because I heard that was amazing,
no,
too.
Not Hidden Fences.
Changing Fences?
Fences.
Just
cool.
Fences? Yeah, so, yeah, I'm going to definitely check
you out.
I got my man 8-Point on the line. 8-Point, welcome to the offer. It's been a while, man. How you been?
Good. I came in late, so I'm gonna be on mute, and I'm just listening.
Sounds good. Feel free to jump in whenever you want.
Yeah, man.
All right, that's a lot of my topics that I wanted to catch up on. I still got some more stuff. I want to discuss the Nancy Pelosi husband thing, because I just thought that story was crazy. But let me just open the floor real quick. We only got about 15 minutes, so I'm sorry I took everybody's time, but I wanted to get some topics out the way that we haven't discussed in the last couple of weeks. DJ C. Sire, is there anything you want to talk about in particular that you need to catch up on?
Yeah.
Extra?
I mean, I know y'all probably talked about the Kyrie shit that last
week.
Was it
here
but...
last? Yeah, we talked about that the whole 2 hours.
Yeah, the whole
Go
two
ahead.
I wasn't there. Yeah. But no. I was just that's the only thing that really comes to mind is that's why is it still news? I do think that just to come out recently, I think after the show was all his list of demands. Like, that's just crazy to me. I think that's over the top. I think I kind of agree with LeBron. Yeah, just let him play ball. You know, he said sorry, all that other shit. I think now you're out here, got him doing a certain the dog and pony show and shit. Like, they're not owed all that, right? Said sorry, that's it. Like, let's move on, right? But I think now they're just kind of like this. It's almost like they're making an example out of him. You know what I'm saying? He ain't do half a shit. I can see how they did that with Kanye, but, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's what Kyrie's statement and even the post statement raised to the level of what they're doing now to him. So, especially the NBA, like, come on, let's not make like act like you the more authority. You did a lot of things during the whole protest and civil unrest. I get that, applaud you for it, but let's not like make it seem like you're the more authority out here, trying to make your players do all this crazy ass shit to appease a population. Like, I think that's a little overboard. So, and I'm surprised the player union is not standing up for more. They might be, but yeah, that's all.
Yeah, the Kyrie shit is interesting because they're trying. They gave him a list and said, if you complete this list, you can come back and work for the NBA. And it's one of those things where I always try to put myself in the position of like, what if a white player tweeted a movie about racist against black people, how would I feel?
Birth of a Nation.
Yeah, Birth of a Nation. Like, what if a white football player said, y'all need to check this out? Or just tweeted the link, because Kyrie didn't even say y'all need to check this out. He just tweeted the link. What would I want that person to do? And I would like to think that I would say, well, we know he's racist now. But I would also like to think, like, yo, if he didn't say anything, I can't judge him for it. Now, the problem with that happened with Kyrie is when Kyrie had a chance to, like, nah, I ain't got no beef with Jews. I just thought it was an interesting doc. Like, that's honestly all he had to say. Like, yeah, some of that shit in that documentary is wild, but some of it seemed like, hey, it's kind of interesting. And then no one can get upset with him. But all he kept saying is, I can't be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from. And that was a question that like, I wanted to ask Jewish people, like, when black people say they're Jewish, do y'all get offended?
When you're racist, don't stop.
But in the grand scheme of things, Kyrie never said anything. He just posted a video. Then it comes to the whole, is that promoting or not? But he never said anything. He just posted a link of a movie that we all can view on Amazon. Right now I'm watching football on Amazon. If I wanted to watch the Hebrews to Negroes movie, I had to pay $15, but I could just watch it on Amazon, right?
Oh,
you saw what I did? Hebrews to Negroes. So,
but just to be honest, that's what our former person that was 45,
Trump,
he would do the same thing, like retweet things of people that was questionable. Well, he wouldn't say anything. It would just be retweeted. So, I mean.
And look, and the only thing I can say is, if Jewish people think Kyrie doesn't like Jewish people, I could perfectly understand it. Because though I haven't seen the movie, I watched black people tell me what's in that movie, and they were like, yeah, some of that shit's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're telling people that the Holocaust just isn't real.
Yeah.
How would I feel if somebody said slavery wasn't real?
Are they trying to say that?
Well, they are trying to say it. You know what I mean? And it's offensive. Like, yo, man, I got family that was slave. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's kind of fucked up. So I get the Jews. I feel my good homies on that. But my question is, should he be punished for basketball? Should he be made to do all these things and pay $500,000 and do all these things to get back in the NBA when he never said anything? Part of me says no, because he didn't do anything. We live in an age where you can copy and link and send it.
And it's about the free speech, too, though, right? So you got the free speech argument. And we're not talking about – it ain't. But at the same time, though, you can make an argument that it can be, right? The same way that you will argue against a reporter giving up their links, right? And then it's also key that they said shit about – NBA didn't say shit about Amazon, though, right? They know who the fuck not to fuck with, right? And he posted an Amazon link. Amazon actually has that shit on their website. If they didn't have it on their website, there would be no link to post. But yet – only like one group came out and be like, yo, Amazon, you need to take this shit down. But you know, you can't be, when you got money against money, right? Then all of a sudden, oh, well, you're just going to make it about Kyrie. But ain't shit been said about the NBA taking the stance against Amazon, why they even have it anywhere on their league. Nike ain't out here talking about, yeah, I don't know if we're going to do business because it was unacceptable. But you see the motherfucker head of Nike talking about Amazon, you need to take that shit down from your website? Hell no. Why? Because billionaire, right? Big bank, small, big bank, right? Like, so ain't nobody fucking going against Amazon out here touting to take that damn book off their website. But I was like, I saw one group say that shit. But everybody talking about Kyrie for posting the same shit that's on Amazon's link or on Amazon's site.
But see, I don't like them taking it down. Just like if you can get Birth of a Nation on Amazon, I wouldn't want to take it down. I wouldn't watch it. It's not for me, but if people wanted to watch that and it's an educational movie for someone to look at to see how films were made in a racist format back then, like there's a whole bunch of people who study Birth of a Nation and
sure,
the racist aspect. Huh?
No, I'm saying I agree. I don't think it should be taken down. I'm saying, but if you're going to make somebody, if you're going to make an example out of somebody for posting something that they found on Amazon's website and require them to do all this list of things, right? And you're talking about taking away his money, his livelihood, the shoe deal over a post of a link that was on the site. Why you ain't talking about the fact that this, it didn't even exist on that site, right? Like, you missing the big picture, right? So it's like, oh, this is horrible that you're promoting a film, or quote-unquote promoting a film that exists out there on Amazon where now everybody can go view. So now you got to apologize and do all this other shit. But then guess what? Everybody who got access to Amazon can go look at that same motherfucking movie. So you not doing anything to stop So what you asking him to apologize for? Because they asking him to apologize for a movie that basically giving all this false shit about Jewish people. But you're not going against the person who actually is out here having the shit that's giving everybody access to the shit. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to apologize to all this shit, but you can still go and get it.
And that's
you're not fixing the problem.
Just because he never said it. Like if he posted a link and said all Jewish people, if he did Kanye and said all Jewish people, this movie shows how the Holocaust isn't real, all Jewish people run the banks, and Jewish people stole black people's history. Oh my God, you probably need to, like, you can't say those things unless you have facts, right? To back you up. You should be punished for that. But like you said, if I just post a link to a movie that's available on Amazon, like, why is everybody upset with me? Shouldn't y'all be upset with Amazon if you're upset about the content of the movie? And that's why I bring up Birth of a Nation, because it's about, you know, basically how black people ain't shit. And
even though one's a supposed documentary and Birth of a Nation is a movie,
like, if somebody posted that movie, how would I feel knowing what that movie is about? But it's tough, because the history of that Birth of a Nation movie is, you know, it's one of the first full feature-length films that was ever created. Just racism. So somebody just posted the link, and they were white.
I tried watching it too.
It's bad.
But it's a silent film.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's hard to.
But when you think about it, it's like the first one ever made. You're like, damn, you know, they didn't do too bad with it, except for all the black people stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's rough, man. I don't think Kyrie should be punished just because he didn't say anything, but I can understand why Jewish people would be upset if I can have both sides of the argument. It does seem like to make him pay $500,000 for not saying anything is a little excessive. Like, if you want to make him sit down and talk to Jewish people so Jewish people can get this off their chest about how the content in this movie is fucked up, then, yeah, he should have that conversation.
I'm just going to take the comments or the opinion of what Stephen A. Smith was saying was basically, why did it have to be posted publicly on what he needed to do to get back in the NBA? Like, that's something that the public didn't really need to know. And, you know, if you wanted to say we're working on things, you know what I'm saying? I guess I don't know if he felt like the NBA needed to answer to the public.
They're coming. Kanye was right. I'm just playing Jewish people. Don't cancel me. I'm just joking.
You know.
Just a jokey joke.
But, like I said, it seems like it's just there for punishment to make someone, you know,
emasculate,
or to, you know, to further, I can't think of the word right now, but, you know, so way over the top and making it very theatrical. You know what I'm saying? It's real, like, all these theatrics on if this is something that's in line for policy sake, then this is just something that is done. It doesn't have to be broadcast to people who it doesn't affect.
All right. And on that note, we got to wrap up, man. It's been a good show. It's been good hearing from everybody. We could get more into the Kyrie Irving next week if you join us at next week, because I think it's some other good points that we just haven't had a chance to discuss, especially with this new information that dropped. But, you know, for right now, we're gonna call tonight. We're still missing 21 Savage and Drake album we got to talk about. You wanted to talk about Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, someone else wanted to, but I followed up with it.
Oh, I think I'm actually going to talk about Dwayne Wade.
Not even a 21 Savage album. That West Side Gun album dropped too. That shit fire. But we can have that conversation another day.
Yeah, we can have that. Look, I like the West. We can talk about West next week. I still want to talk about Nancy Pelosi and how they broke into her house and bashed her husband upside the head with a hammer. Like, people were just... Yeah, speaking... I forgot that West Side Gun album was just called 10 because it was a Hitler Wears Hermes series. And after all the Jewish stuff, he...
So
his mixtape series was called Hitler Wears Hermes.
Uh-huh. And this is the mixtape number 10?
This is number 10 for him. But he took the Hitler off.
He said, I ain't got time for that.
Too much
I ain't making all that money. I ain't got time for this.
We got to talk about couple beef. DJ C. Siren, if I was beefing with your friend's husband, would you still be friends with your friend?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, we got to talk about couple beef next week. But it's been a fun show. It's been good to hear from everybody, man. DJ Society, you got anything to say before we roll?
I'm supposed to say something better. Good night. Have a great weekend.
Hey, that what you always say?
I'm supposed to say something better. I'll come up with it.
We're going to go see Wakanda tomorrow, so we'll report back to y'all next week. MX or Money, you got anything to say?
Forever.
You know, Wakanda may be forever. We'll see next week.
It's an entire black film. We got to support it. We got to support it. We got to enjoy it. We can't tell. We can't tell. Jewish people are united.
You just said that you was going to sneak into the Women King, bro.
Yeah, but I'm paying for Black Panther. I can only support somebody.
Oh, God.
See, if there was a Jewish superhero, they'd be packed. I can't believe we played with a kid called the Jewish Jordan, and he went to Towson University. They nicknamed him the Jewish Jordan, and he was good enough to play in Division I AA basketball. There is no way we should have allowed him to disrespect Jordan's name. That's when black people have to come together against the Jews. All the other stuff we should be cool with the Jews about. We should have stopped it right then and there. Like, your name should have just been your name at Towson University. It should have been the Jewish Jordan. It should have just been your name. New York, New York, you got anything to say before we roll?
Look, you know what I mean? It's cold outside, you know what I mean? Definitely check on your cars because this is definitely the weather where your car go bad, you know what I mean? Make sure you get your fluids in together, you know what I mean? Rotate your tires, you know what I mean? Change your brakes. Transmission fluid, cooling, all that, you know what I mean? Other than that, protect your health, you know what I mean? The flu is spreading nasty, you know what I mean? I'm just getting over a sickness, you know what I mean? Everybody getting over a sickness. Protect yourself from COVID, you know what I mean? Wash your hands, mask up, you know what I mean? Keep that hand sanitizer close. Other than that, stay in good health. Look forward to the next conversation next week, you all right?
Yeah, we definitely got to talk about Elon Musk and saying fuck working from home, Twitter people. Yeah, he fucking Twitter up. But it may be for the better, may not be, yo. But, you know, until next week, brothers and sisters.